volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a sad, somber, serious chain of events that's led to the broadcast today when we talk about the assassination of freedom. We witnessed through the assassination of Charlie Kirk, 31-year-old Christian, conservative, patriot, and advocate of truth, when his life was snuffed out from the assassin's bullet as he was about 200 yards from where Charlie Kirk was seated. One bullet went through the carotid artery, and in just a few moments, Charlie Kirk was in eternity. And that's all as a result of, my humble opinion, you can differ if you like, it's all as a result of the rhetoric and the vitriol coming out of the socialist Marxist media and the communist broadcast group called the Democratic Party that's crying for, pleading for something to be done to stop the conservatives, the Christians, those that are the political, verbal side of Donald J. Trump. In fact, we've had, going back as far as the Waters and others and the House of Representatives and Senators that have said that we must do something because these on the right are destroying our democracy. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Number 1, we're not a democracy.
That's right.
We are a republic. We are a republic. And the last caller, he was dead on point about like gay marches. They have the drones flying around. Okay, so why you didn't have drones flying around him?
Especially when a crowd that size and at a level, because it was a semi-arena there where there was a crowd by layers stacked, and Charlie Kirk was in a tent, and yet you had no surveillance taking place to make sure. In fact, with a university, state university, that was Utah State University, with a university that size, they've got 40,000 students enrolled at that university. To have a crowd that size and not to, in advance, set up some kind of preparation for the protection of the people, and especially when you've got Charlie Kirk with U.S. Turning Point USA, and you go back to the records and you look, and it's not, this is not the first time. Charlie Kirk's been threatened, his life's been threatened. There have been those that were adamantly opposed to what he was saying, that would walk up and snatch his tent down, destroy their materials that they're passing out, and threaten his life. That's been over and over and over. But because he continued to stand for truth, the Marxist trigger finger of one, I believe that was a hired Marxist marksman shooter. I believe that was a hireling to take the life of Charlie Kirk, because the mindset that we've got to get rid of him, as one caller said a moment ago, we've got to get rid of him because what he will do between now and the 2026 election. We've got to stop his progress. I'm looking at an article, Kenneth. The Utah tragedy, why Kirk's killing fits a pattern of conservative attacks. The tragic death of Charlie Kirk on Wednesday, founder of Turning Point USA, adds to the somber and increasing list of conservative people and institutions that have been targets, assaults, vandalism, and murders. An examination of the previous 4 years uncovered a long history of conservatives and Republicans confronting violence, including two attempted assassinations on President Trump and a roughly two-month period of time in 2024. Gunfire broke out during Kirk's American Comeback Tour speech at Utah Valley University, and he promptly fell to the ground, rushed to a nearby hospital where he was later deceased. And it goes on to talk about the two assassination attempts on Trump, goes to talk about the events that had taken place prior to that, talks about the number of times where grassroots attacks on conservatives had occurred. For example, in New Mexico, Republican Party headquarters where arson burned it down, an assault sprayed ice and KKK graffiti on the building and destroyed the door of the chief executive's office. Violence has been ongoing for the Turning Point USA chapters around the country. In April, for example, masked assailants attacked a group of UC Davis students affiliated with the organization, according to the details. According to Turning Point USA, demonstrators attacked organizations, personnel, toppled tables, smashed video gear, a tent, and even signs when the conservative group was presenting a Prove Me Wrong tour event. And it goes on and on. A five-page article outlining all that's taken place just in the past couple of years in relationship to the conservatives and the threat on conservatives' lives to try to stop the juggernaut of truth going across our nation. So, Kenneth, let me put you on the spot. What's the answer to it?
Number one, we got to pray, and we still got to keep standing. We have to keep standing because these people, and I know it's the Democratic Party, but it's the elitist also. Mm-hmm. These billionaires that's trying to turn America around, and especially, I call him Barack Hussein Obama, because he said it was going to be a great reset. Mm-hmm. And while Sleepy Joe was in office, he was in control. Because they lied to us a couple of times. Like, we talked to him maybe once a month, and then they said maybe twice a week. Found out that he talked to him every day, even go to the White House. So, it's just, this was his, I think, third term.
This is Barack Hussein Obama's third term being played out through the puppet Sleepy Joe Biden, Autopen Biden. But Kenneth, you're exactly right. It deserves our prayer and the recognition that we have a demonic battle on our hands, and we're faced with that battle each and every day. So it deserves our prayer, our constant vigilance, and our being willing to stand for truth, even in the face of death. So, Kenneth, thank you so much for your call today. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at an article that says, listen to this, it is sad, but it's a wonderful encouragement. Tragedy is Charlie Kirk's wife left behind. Wife and two young children after conservative activist is fatally shot. The wife of Charlie Kirk shared a haunting post on Twitter just hours before he was assassinated. Listen to the post that she had put on Twitter. And a post to her account, Erica Kirk shared a Bible reference from Psalms 46:1, saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Isn't that amazing? I'm thankful that there is a witness that is left. And Charlie Kirk had impacted the lives of millions around the globe and thousands upon thousands of college-age students that he had impacted. This article goes on to say, Kirk, a conservative political activist and founder of Turning Point USA, was gunned down on Wednesday while speaking at the University in Utah. The 31-year-old leaves behind his wife and two young children, a 3-year-old daughter and a 16-month-old son. And ladies and gentlemen, the text that his wife had put on Twitter the day before, just hours before his death. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And that's where they're turning now, without any question. But it saddens me to understand and see the vitriol and the hate that is taking place out of the mouths of the Democrats even now. When you have MSNBC, Matthew Dowd, I shared this earlier. Matthew Dowd said Charlie Kirk's rhetoric made him the target. Dowd went on to say, Charlie Kirk's hate speech led to his being shot. Dowd said, quote, hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which lead to hateful actions. Basically saying that Charlie Kirk got what he deserved. That's what he was saying. That's what Van Jones, the smooth-talking communist that is on CNN, that's what he says. That's his position. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that covers that. Network political analyst suggests Charlie Kirk deserved to be shot. And it talks about the Matthew Dodd Dowd suggesting that Wednesday that Charlie Kirk's rhetoric caused him to be shot. And he said, goes on to say, Dowd said, and I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which lead to hateful actions. Saying these awful words and not expect awful actions to take place, he continued, is impossible. So he still is touting the fact that Charlie Kirk had hateful words, and hateful words brought on what took place in his life. I believe Terry's on the line. Terry, go ahead with the question. A comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I believe, first of all, I give my condolences to the wife, and may his son carry on with his father's legacy. But that was a professional hit. To be able to shoot with a high-power rifle and hit the carotid artery, that it goes deeper than what we think. I believe that the shooter was hired. I don't know by who, but it was to make sure that he was killed. But
Terry, you're exactly right. One of the things that is a frightful thought, this didn't happen where he woke up yesterday morning and said, I'm going to kill Charlie Kirk, and he went to the effort of doing so. This had to be thought out, planned out, and prepared. And in my most humble opinion, because I understand there was a parking lot directly behind the building that he was on top of where he fired the shot, jumped off the building, got in the car, left, and right within 10-minute drive of that campus are the tall, high wilderness mountains that I believe he has gone into, my opinion, that's my thought, where he will hide out because he's probably done all of the preparation, all of the advanced staging, so that he can do so. It is my prayer that by way of cell telephone, that they'll be able to track him, find him, et cetera, et cetera. So it is my prayer that they will find him immediately, that he'll be caught, tried, convicted, and sentenced to go in old Sparky, because they still have the death penalty in Utah. And I'm not trying to look at it on the basis that there needs to be retribution. There needs to be quick justice to take place. And it is my prayer that the shooter does not kill himself when he gets cornered. I want to see the man caught, tried, and convicted. I want to find out who hired him, who brought this about, and what part of the Democratic Party played in that whole fiasco. Yeah. I may be totally wrong. I am prayerful, though, that God will bring justice out of this absolute fiasco that took place. I'm looking at a headline that says, Robert Kennedy Jr. on assassination of Charlie Kirk says, once again, a bullet has silenced the most eloquent truth teller in our era, end quote. So it deserves our prayer and constant vigilance in doing so. So I am thankful that we have this privilege of recognizing what God has done and is doing. Terry, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. What? It just brings to my mind, for Christ we live and for Christ we die. And that was a young man. Mm-hmm. That for Christ he lived and for Christ he died.
Absolutely. I'm thankful to know that in my heart, and I'm thankful to know what he had said and promulgating the gospel and challenging people to put God first. That was his challenge in just about each of his speeches to the young people that he would speak to. Terry, thank you for your call. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. This was one of the most sorrowful afternoons I think I've ever had.
Yes.
I was so hoping against hope that he would survive, but after I was told how bad it was pretty obvious it wasn't something that could be dealt with by the medical people. What I feel, though, is that I believe this was a professional hit, and I concur with you as well. I know you said that you agree. But one of the things that's so disturbing is the celebration on the left. Now, if somebody on the left had been assassinated, like in a similar situation to what Charlie Kirk, what happened with him yesterday, I would no more get on and make a post putting my face and my voice out there celebrating the death of someone that I did not know personally, did not know anything about, just because I disagreed with their political beliefs or their beliefs on other things. I would no more do that because, I mean, that person has a family. They have, we don't know what that person the condition of that person.
Well, Miranda, if I could jump in, one of the things that, and I know that you know this, but is not being stated, is the fact that with the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, if they're going to stand up and praise the Islamic jihadists that killed 1,400 Jewish people 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, if they're going to stand up in the college doors and the college campuses and praise those that are part of the gangs that's in America that needs to be deported, they're going to take their position.
Absolutely.
And defend their position rather than defending the position of those that are being slaughtered, murdered, raped, robbed, and destroyed in America. You know where they stand morally, ethically, and philosophically. And that we can't expect any more out of them or any different. But I believe it's time that we go to the ballot box and forever, once and for all, change the trajectory of where America's going. And it just may be, my Aunt Miranda, it just may be that we're witnessing the implosion of the constitutional republic that we've known for almost 250 years now. We need to pray and seek God's face.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Yes, we do.
Miranda, thank you so much for your input. God bless you today. I believe we have James on the line. James, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood got in on the tail end of it. A sad, sad day for America, and you're on spot on everything that I heard just within the last few minutes. And I would leave you with this. I would leave you with the fact that I believe that Mr. Kirk, which obviously I really looked up to him, certainly not a perfect individual, but a God-loving, God-honoring, God-fearing man, who was a humble man and who his crime was wanting to talk. Why do you feel the way you do? Explain it to me. Let's debate it. He was always polite. He was always very civil to people. But I think that he now, this is going to be the conservatives' equivalent of an MLK sort of thing, a man that tried to bridge the gap and talk about things and get things looked at from different perspectives and try to understand what was going on. And he loved this country, obviously, and he was a patriot. And to be silenced when his whole platform was, prove me wrong, let's talk about this, let's discuss this, I think that his legacy is going to be honored and learned from, and people are going to really stand up and take notice. And that 2 Timothy 1:7, one of my favorite verse, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Conservatives need to not resort to violence. They need to resort to firm hand and not revenge, but repercussions and accountability. And I'm 100% with you. They need to find out who this shooter was and who paid them. And none of this, oh gosh, we can't uncover it, we can't find it out, none of this nonsense. The truth will be revealed at one point or another, and we all know it. And
yes, in fact, James, here's Robert Kennedy's assessment of this. He says, "My dear friend Charlie Kirk was our country's relentless and courageous crusader for free speech. Kirk, yes. a conservative firebrand committed followers and a committed follower of Jesus Christ, died after being shot at a Utah event." And, James, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but President Trump just made the announcement this morning that posthumously he's going to award Charlie Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yep. I did not hear it, but I'm not surprised. He's 31 flipping years old, a 31-year-old man that was a multimillionaire, self-made, dropped out, I think, his freshman year, might have been his sophomore year in college, and said, "I'm not going to get indoctrinated and sit here and work hard and pay for this nonsense. I'm going to learn." And he read great books, and he went to great lectures, and he filled his mind and built up his mind in the Lord. And you can't read the Word of God and not have the Word of God get in you and be passionate about that. And
absolutely. Here's what President Trump said. "Let me express the honor and grief of so many Americans at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk. Charlie was a giant of a gentleman, a champion of liberty, and an inspiration to millions of people. I'm pleased to announce that I will soon be awarding Charlie Kirk posthumously the Presidential Medal of Freedom." I don't think they can get any better than that coming from the top office in America today through the president. James, I'm delighted that you called. It deserves our prayer. We need to keep looking up and the realization and the recognition that the Lord Jesus Christ is not asleep, he's not out of town, he's not in some way absent from duty, he's on the throne, he's still in control, and we still need to recognize that even in horrible times like this, God is still in control, and we need to praise him and honor him with whatever is said and done. Let me just take a moment and do this. I'm looking at a headline, "House Democrats shout no when Representative Boebert requests spoken prayers for Charlie Kirk. House Democrat lawmakers could be heard Wednesday shouting no, no, after Colorado Republican Lauren Boebert requested a spoken prayer for Turning Point USA Charlie Kirk, who was killed during the TP USA event. Kirk, 31, was shot. Listen, and I'll not read the whole article, time won't allow it, but a representative stood on the floor of the House and recommended that we all stop and pray for Charlie Kirk. The Democrats went totally start raving crazy of screaming and shouting. I listened to it. Watch the video. The Speaker of the House took minute after minute after minute of the gavel banging and saying, "Come to order. The House will come to order." And the Democrats refused to allow prayer in the on the floor of the House for Charlie Kirk, even after he had been killed, praying for his family. Would not allow it. What do you say about viciousness like that?
I would tell you this. I would tell you that anybody that's got a friend that's a Democrat, at this point, they're not Democrats anymore. They're Democrats. This is evil against good at this point. They're either, if you're a Democrat now, you're either shy of an IQ, a negligible amount of IQ that you can figure this out, or you're completely asleep at the wheel. Or as I've said before on the air, the beginning of Galatians, "Oh, Galatia, who has bewitched you?"
Yes.
So they're evil people at this point, and they're doing evil things. And to be cheering for the death of an enemy, somebody that you're politically against, he wasn't a politician. He was trying to
absolutely. James,
I would tell you
thank
this,
you.
When we start to do this with Muslims, because Trump is going to ban Muslims, I guarantee you that he's going to do that. He's getting the radical Islam lowdown, and he's going to say, "Sorry, we can't do this. We're not going to
absolutely
let that happen in America."
James, what we're doing, we're going to cut short just a few moments because I want our listeners to hear the 4-minute speech of President Trump in relationship to this. But James, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that President Trump summed up all of our thoughts and prayers and exactly what we're saying today. And I want us to close our broadcast today with the words from President Donald J. Trump.
"To my great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror. Charlie was a patriot who devoted his life to the cause of open debate and the country that he loved so much, the United States of America. He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom, and there has never been anyone who was so respected by youth. Charlie was also a man of deep, deep faith, and we take comfort in the knowledge that he is now at peace with God in heaven. Our prayers are with his wife, Erica, the two young, beloved children, and his entire family, who he loved more than anything in the world. We ask God to watch over them in this terrible hour of heartache and pain. This is a dark moment for America. Charlie Kirk traveled the nation, joyfully engaging with everyone interested in good faith debate. His mission was to bring young people into the political process, which he did better than anybody ever, to share his love of country and to spread the simple words of common sense. On campuses nationwide, he championed his ideas with courage, logic, humor, and grace. It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible. For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now. My administration will find each and every one of those who contributed to this atrocity and to other political violence, including the organizations that fund it and support it, as well as those who go after our judges, law enforcement officials, and everyone else who brings order to our country. From the attack on my life in Butler, Pennsylvania last year, which killed a husband and father, to the attacks on ICE agents, to the vicious murder of a healthcare executive in the streets of New York, to the shooting of House Majority Leader Steve Scalise and three others, radical left political violence has hurt too many innocent people and taken too many lives. Tonight, I ask all Americans to commit themselves to the American values for which Charlie Kirk lived and died, the values of free speech, citizenship, the rule of law, and the patriotic devotion and love of God. Charlie was the best of America, and the monster who attacked him was attacking our whole country. An assassin tried to silence him with a bullet, but he failed, because together we will ensure that his voice, his message, and his legacy will live on for countless generations to come. Today, because of this heinous act, Charlie's voice has become bigger and grander than ever before, and it's not even close. May God bless his memory, may God watch over his family, and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining on Let's Face the Issues today. This event that we're talking about, with the death of Charlie Kirk by the assassin's bullet, deserves our prayer and our looking up in recognition that our redemption draweth nigh. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is...